Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I hope you're all having a great Monday. We have got a jam-packed show. You are listening to us on WQEE 99.1 out of Noonan. A lot to talk about on the show. I'm going to have a lineup of guests this week, but this show I am going solo because there's just a lot to get into. I'm going to talk about the Columbus River Dragons' heartbreaking double overtime loss to the Carolina Thunderbirds. I have some thoughts about this series and being invested in the Columbus River Dragons in general the last three seasons, and I'll share those experiences. The Braves take 2 out of 3 against the Cleveland Guardians. I'll have the complete recap of the NFL draft, and I'll talk about the NBA playoffs. But let's start the show with the Columbus River Dragons. Over the weekend, it seemed like they were on track to advance to the Commissioner's Cup Final. However, getting home ice was good for the River Dragons, and they got the job done in Game 1. They steal the win at Carolina. So they got two chances to clinch and advance. So they beat Carolina on Friday 3-0. Okay, Saturday at the Columbus Civic Center, Carolina gets a power play goal in the first. Columbus, they take the 2-1 lead. 1:20 left to go. Carolina pulls the goalie, and they get the game-tying goal to send it to overtime. And Carolina gets the game-winning goal in overtime. Two evenly matched teams, even though I feel like the Columbus River Dragons were the better team. It was a heartbreaking loss. The way that the Columbus River Dragons lost Game 2, I didn't think they could respond in Game 3. They actually responded in Game 3. They played very well. They outshot Carolina 42-26. You got to give credit to the goaltender for Carolina, Mario Cavallari, who was standing on his head. I counted at least 20 times in that game where the Columbus River Dragons should have gotten a goal to end the game. There was a turnover in the zone, and Carolina gets the game-winning goal and wins in double overtime, 2-1 to advance to the Commissioner's Cup Final. You got to give Carolina credit. I felt that the Columbus River Dragons, they were the best team all season. They had home ice, and they just couldn't get it done. 0-4 in the power play, and once again, another heartbreaking Columbus River Dragons season comes to an end. By the way, Tom Callahan, another fantastic job calling the games over the weekend. You know, he is really holding it together. You know, and Thrift and I, we really appreciate Tom Callahan and what he has done. I've had the privilege of working with him with the Columbus Chattahoots and the Chattahoochee Monsters. He is truly a professional. But when you're calling a game like that, it has got to be tough to see this right before your eyes, up in the press box, seeing that chance after chance that the Columbus River Dragons had to put this game away. I kept saying in that third game, they were up 1-0. I said, you got to get a second goal in here. You cannot take it to the third period 1-0. And lo and behold, Carolina ties it with about 7 minutes left to go. And it goes to overtime, and then it goes to another overtime, and Carolina ends up winning 2-1. And that's all she wrote. And another disappointing season comes to an end for the Columbus River Dragons. This one hurts more than 2022 and 2023. Because the Columbus River Dragons had the best record in the FPHL, they had home ice, and they were the favorites to win the Commissioner's Cup. They were the team to beat this year. Absolutely devastating. But let's fast forward to 2023. They're taking on Carolina in the semifinals of the FPHL. They beat Carolina in game one at the Civic Center, and they lose in heartbreak fashion once again, 6-5 in game two in overtime, and 4-3 in game three. Although in game three last year, they were down 3-0, and they did get a goal late to make it a one-goal game, but they did lose 4-3 last year. Let's fast forward to 2002. Remember, Watertown had the best record. They had home ice that year. Columbus defeats Watertown in game one. I was there for that. They lose to Watertown 4-1 in game two, and then probably the most epic River Dragons game I have ever saw up until yesterday, when they lose to Watertown in overtime 3-2 in the Commissioner's Cup final 2 years ago. I do want to say that I am proud of the Columbus River Dragons and the season that they have had, but again, 3 years in a row, I have been invested in this team. I've watched the games on YouTube. I've gone to the games. I didn't go to the games this year, but I've been invested in the Columbus River Dragons and their season, and they lose once again in heartbreak fashion. It's just tough. It's tough being a Columbus River Dragons fan. I know that they're going to be back next year, and they're going to have some good players. And Boom Boom Richard's a good coach, and they've got a good ownership group in Ignite Sports. But it is tough to have to see this 3 years in a row. And I have truly been a fan. I have loved going to River Dragons games. They have been a great regular season team. Just can't get it done in the playoffs. And they really played very well. They had their chances to win in advance, because a lot of times when I was watching the game last night, they were in control. They just couldn't get it in the back of the net. It was absolutely tough. But I'm proud of the effort. Hopefully Josh Pietrantonio and Austin Doe will be back next year. Hopefully Justin McDonald will be back. Alex Storjahan, Ryan Hunter, Hunter Persani, who's really been an enforcer, Brendan Coolgan. He has been a great goaltender. I was very impressed that he was in at goaltender for that third game, because I know that fatigue had to have been a factor. You're playing three games in 3 days. So hopefully the Columbus River Dragons can regroup and focus on next season. The Columbus Lions are 4-0 on the season, as they got a big road victory over the Harrisburg Stampede, 42-34. Their next game will be on the road against the Cedar Rapids River Kings. Here's a look at the standings. So the River Kings are 0-2 on the season. The Columbus Lions are 4-0. The Corpus Christi Tritons are 3-0. The Harrisburg Stampede, 2-1. By the way, that's who the Columbus Lions play next at the Columbus Civic Center. They're taking on the Harrisburg Stampede once again. The Amarillo Venom has yet to win a game. They are 0-3. Also, Military Night is going to be June the 8th, as the Columbus Lions will take on the Peach State Cats. So get tickets for that. You can go to Fort Moore and get tickets there. And we'd love to see as many military members, and packing the Columbus Civic Center is always a great time. So I started this show talking about the local sports here in Columbus because it's really been fresh on my mind after watching those Columbus River Dragons games over the weekend. We've had high school baseball. I'll break down the round two matchups in all the classifications in Georgia and in Alabama. And I'm also going to talk about spring practices for high school football. So every day, I will pick two schools in the Chattahoochee Valley, and I will recap the 2023 season, and I will talk about the schedule and some of the key players that are returning. So in today's episode, I'm going to feature the Carver Tigers and the Central Red Devils. And what better way than to start with the two most successful high school teams that have put players in the NFL, the Central Red Devils, who have put players in the NFL like Jeremiah Castile, J.D. McKissick, Justin Ross, future NFL players like Cam Coleman, Tamarian Parker, A.J. Harris. Central has been a factory for putting football players to the next level. They got three championships in the history of their program, 1993, 2018 with legendary coach Jamie DuBose, and then recently 2023 with head coach Patrick Nix, who is the father of Denver Broncos quarterback Bo Nix. They dethroned Thompson last year, went undefeated. Thompson was the four-time champion. They had a freshman quarterback in Trent Seaburn. Watched the game as it was in Tuscaloosa, and there was a play where Andrew Alford, their quarterback, by the way, he is coming back next year for Central, he passed it to Cam Coleman, and Coleman just turned up the jukes up the sideline, and that was the deciding touchdown, and Central wins another state title. I think they're going to be just as strong as they were last year. Look who's coming back. You got Mal Waldrop, a four-star offensive tackle. That's going to give Andrew Alford time to throw the football. According to Rivals.com, Andrew Alford is now a three-star pro-style quarterback, and he is going to have a fantastic year. He has really been the difference maker for the Central Red Devils. And then Dalen Upshaw, one of his favorite targets, a four-star wide receiver, is going to be a weapon he is going to try to utilize. And so when you look at the Central Red Devils' schedule, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, the last two seasons they have played Hewitt Trussville. You know, they've played some tough opponents like IMG Academy. But I'm here to tell you that Central looks like they can go undefeated once again. But Auburn is still going to be good. Thompson is going to be good. Hewitt Trussville. All these teams, like Hoover, they're all going to be good. Central's going to have to compete with all of them in 7A. But let's go down the schedule for the Central Red Devils and Coach Patrick Nix. Okay, starting on August the 23rd, this is going to be a home game against the 6A Pinson Valley, who is known for winning state championships at the 6A level. The Central Red Devils will be at Garrett Harrison Stadium that Friday night. On August the 30th, they're taking on a team from Missouri called Lutheran North. I love seeing these high schools being showcased and taking on one of the best teams in Alabama. Central's going to get opportunities to be nationally televised. They were a couple of years ago when they faced IMG Academy. All right, the Backyard Brawl, September the 6th. It's going to be at Smith Station. Smith Station has only beaten Central one time in this century, and this has been a one-sided rivalry for the Central Red Devils. This could be a slip-up game, but you know, I actually got called out for saying that that game against Enterprise last year was a slip-up game, and they completely dominated Enterprise. Well, they're facing Dothan. Dothan has been a very improved football team. September 13th, on the road, they should win that game with no problem. September 20th, they are hosting Enterprise. October the 4th, they are hosting Auburn. October the 11th, the newest member of the region in 7A, Carver Montgomery, making the jump from 6A to 7A on October the 11th. October the 18th, they travel up to Opelika. They got the new stadium and everything. I know Van Riggs, I know he's excited about that. He's the voice of the Opelika Bulldogs. That's going to be a big matchup. And remember, 2 years ago, Opelika upset Central up in Opelika. And they're hoping that they could do the same. And then they wrap up the season taking on Jag. Now, I counted the games. This is only 9 games. They might add another game on the schedule. I know there are talks about maybe IMG Academy. Really, the dream matchup is if they play Buford. I would love to see that. Central versus Buford. Put it on ESPN. The best team from Georgia and the best team from Alabama. Or Carrollton. Because I want to see Juju Lewis. I think that Juju Lewis needs to be televised a little bit more. The 5-star quarterback that is the number one recruit that's going to USC. That's neither here or there. But the Central Red Devils, I think they're going to have a great season. They're going to compete for a state title once again. And now let's talk about the Carver Tigers. Many of you are probably wondering, well, some of you might be wondering, have these two teams ever played each other? I mean, this is what we want to see. This is the dream matchup, to see Carver and Central. Yes, they have played. I had to go into the history books to see when they played, and that was back in 2013. It was at Garrett Harrison Stadium, and the Carver Tigers defeated the Central Red Devils 42-19. Now, that might have been Puma Pass's sophomore year. I know that that was shortly after Isaiah Crowell graduated. 2013, Dell McGee just left as the coach because, you know, he was the coach up to 2012. So that was a time where Carver was still dominant, and they were dominant all the way when Puma Pass was their quarterback, all the way up until 2015. But yeah, Central and Carver played each other. Let's talk about the Carver Tigers. When you think of the Carver Tigers, you think of players in the NFL. And they have done a great job putting players in the NFL. It really starts with DJ Jones from Sports Visions. He played at Carver under legendary coach Wallace Davis. And then you look at the other players that went on to play in the NFL. Pro Bowl safety Nate Odoms for the Buffalo Bills. You have defensive tackle Brinston Buckner, who played for the Carolina Panthers, the 49ers. You also have Jarvis Jones, who was just an All-American, outstanding player for Georgia, went on to get drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. How about Isaiah Crowell and what he did at Carver? And then he would go on to play at Georgia, Alabama State. He would go on to play for the New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns. Some other players that also played for Carver. Their only state championship was in 2007 under recent Chattahoochee Valley Sports Hall of Famer coach Dell McGee, who is now the head football coach at Georgia State. That 2007 team was special. It had current Columbus Lions player Jarmon Fortson. It had Jarvis Jones. Isaiah Crowell was a freshman at the time. He didn't really have a whole lot of playing time. But the Carver Tigers beat Cairo in that championship. They got close in 2021. They played Benedictine in the championship. Last year, they make it all the way to the semifinals. In fact, they're hosting a game against Savannah Christian. It just felt like the cards turned in their favor. They went undefeated in the region. They were able to weather the storm, getting wins over Thomasville, Crisp County, Monroe. And Carver seemed like they were back to being Carver. What head coach Pierre Coffey has done, he has really built a powerhouse. They went 10-4 last year with a 5-0 record in the region. They're going to have players returning like Braylon Jakes, Jacoby Caslin, Zion Mabry. Matthew Mungden was a starter as the quarterback. He was a sophomore last year. He should be back. They had a young team. You know, they've had players like Deontay Childs, Jamari Riley, Flip Creedle. I mean, they've gone on to play at the next level. Puma Pass, who I've mentioned already. The Carver Tigers will open the 2024 season taking on Whitewater on August the 16th. Then it's the Heritage Bowl, August the 23rd. Taking on Spencer, and then they play Harris County on August the 30th, and then Northside on September the 13th. Then they get into region play the 19th of September, taking on Columbus, taking on Hardaway on the 27th. They'll face Shaw on the 17th of October, and then they'll take on the Jordan Red Jackets on October 25th. They will wrap up the regular season taking on the Kendrick Cherokees on November the 1st at Otis Spencer Stadium. That is a perfect way to start off my two-a-days, where I feature two high schools from the Chattahoochee Valley. So we talk about probably the two most successful public schools. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about some of the private schools. Tomorrow, I'm going to feature the Glenwood Gators and the Brookstone Cougars. You don't want to miss it. All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a break. We're going to go pay some bills. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about the NBA playoffs, the Braves taking 2 out of 3 against the Cleveland Guardians, and the NFL draft is in the books. How are you feeling about that selection of Michael Penix Jr. now, after you've taken a couple of days to think about it? You know, the general manager has still made some excuses, and he's justifying the pick. So how do the Falcons do in the rest of the draft? You don't want to go anywhere. It's a Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and we will be right back.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Back here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. This is a very big sports week. We got the Kentucky Derby this week. We got the WNBA regular season. My big takeaway on this, are you going to watch? Has Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, have they moved the needle enough to get the casual sports fan who watched college basketball for the women in drones, they watch the WNBA draft? Are they going to watch the season openers in the WNBA? Well, you got the Indiana Fever. They are taking on the Dallas Wings. The Chicago Sky are taking on the Minnesota Lynx. The Sky is taking on the Fever June the 1st, just in case you're wondering, because I know everybody wants to see Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark. All right, let's talk NBA playoffs. Let's talk about over the weekend. The Los Angeles Lakers did not get swept by the Denver Nuggets. LeBron, with his back against the wall, scores 30 points. And even though the Lakers are still down 3-1, there's still signs of life. You let them win one, if they can just steal a game against Denver. Remember, the Lakers had double-digit leads every single game, and they were able to hold on. If they just steal a game in Denver, then it goes back to LA. They could extend this to 7 games. The Lakers are capable of doing that, but what needs to happen, they need to get consistency with D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves. All three of those players have to show up every night in order for the Lakers to pull off the upset. No team in NBA history has ever come back from an 0-3 deficit to win a series. Can the Lakers be the first? History is not really on their side. Meanwhile, the Orlando Magic, they tied up with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are going to take on the Cavaliers on Tuesday. And you also had the Oklahoma City Thunder. They beat the New Orleans Pelicans 106-85. They could sweep their series as they're taking on the Pelicans later tonight. The Heat are hosting the Celtics tonight. And let me tell you something. Even though the Miami Heat did a great job evening the series with the Boston Celtics, the Celtics were just too much. Even though the game was in Miami, the Boston Celtics are the best team in the NBA, and they figured it out. I think that they are going to not only win in five, but they got a very good matchup either against Orlando and Cleveland. I think that's going to be extended to seven. They're going to have a lot of rest, and they match up with both of those teams. I think that the Celtics are going to have an easy trip to at least the Eastern Conference Finals, where I think they might play the Knicks. The Pacers have a 3-1 series lead on the Bucks. This is important because the Bucks did not have Giannis or Damian Lillard in that game. They won the game Sunday night, 126-113. The Pacers are doing this without Benedict Mathurin. Pascal Siakam is starting to become a superstar. He kind of was. He was young when he was with Toronto. Won a championship with the Toronto Raptors. But Tyrese Halliburton is one of the best point guards in the NBA. I think the Pacers get it done, and it's looking like they're probably going to play the Knicks. How about those New York Knicks? Is Jalen Brunson not an MVP candidate? He had a playoff record 47 points in the Game 4 win as the Knicks have a 3-1 series lead over the 76ers. Let's be honest, if Joel Embiid does not score 50, it's hard for the Sixers to overcome a mediocre performance from Joel Embiid. They just don't have the players. Tyrese Maxey is a good number two. They didn't have any production from their bench. The Knicks were able to get not only 47 from Jalen Brunson, but OG Anunoby, he had 16. You know, and that was the pick that they got up from the Toronto Raptors with the RJ Barrett trade. Meanwhile, Clippers tie the series with the Dallas Mavericks. I think these two teams are just going to go back and forth. The series shifts back to Dallas, and it's going to be tied 2-2. The Clippers have home court. It could go to a Game 7. This is a very evenly matched series. Despite blowing a 31-point lead, they hold on for the 5-point win. And Paul George had 33. Kyrie Irving had 40 for the Dallas Mavericks. Who's going to step up for the Mavericks besides Luka and Kyrie? Because you're not getting it from the bench. PJ Washington is a good, scrappy player. You know, by the way, if your name is PJ, you're considered a dog in the NBA. PJ Tucker, PJ Washington, PJ Brown. And then you also have Derrick Jones Jr. from UNLV. By the way, running Rebel. Awesome. These two teams have some flaws. It's not a foregone conclusion that the winner of this series is going to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in the next round, because I think the Thunder could get to the Western Conference Finals, where they might end up facing the Denver Nuggets or the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Minnesota Timberwolves sweep the Phoenix Suns 122-116. I think that they are going to advance, and it just goes to show that the big three that the Suns have tried to form together, it is not working out. 2021, when they had Chris Paul and Cam Johnson and Devin Booker, and they had a series lead over the Bucks 2-0, and they could not close it out. And then they wanted to try to get Kevin Durant. And then they decided to get Bradley Beal. They wanted to form a super team. And the problem is, this team does not have a bench. They don't play defense. And the Timberwolves are just better. NHL playoffs, the Nashville Predators, heartbreaker. You thought the River Dragons had a heartbreaker last night. The Predators led 3-1, and Vancouver ended up tying it. Pulled the goalie twice. They had a 3-1 lead. Bosser scores twice in the last 3 minutes of regulation, and they win it in overtime. The Canucks take a 3-1 series lead. Colorado takes a 3-1 series lead over the Winnipeg Jets. The New York Rangers end up sweeping the series over the Washington Capitals. And so here's some of the games on Monday. The Tampa Bay Lightning, it's not over. They did get game 4, and they will go back to Miami. The Florida Panthers in the Battle of the Sunshine State trying to win the game and advance. Remember, they went to the Stanley Cup Final last season. And the Vegas Golden Knights hosting the Dallas Stars, the best team in the Western Conference in the NHL. And the Vegas Golden Knights are the defending champion. Some of the other series, as the Boston Bruins have a 3-1 series lead over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Carolina's got a 3-1 series lead over the New York Islanders. And then the Avalanche and the Jets will play on Tuesday. The Preds and the Canucks will also play on Tuesday. Kings and Oilers, that's a series that is probably going to go pretty far. I think the Oilers are a team that they got some superstars. Connor McDavid has been absolutely incredible. Major League Baseball, the Atlanta Braves, they walk it off against the Cleveland Guardians in 10 innings, 4-3, thanks to a single by Austin Riley to score Ronald Acuna Jr. This came when they lose to the Cleveland Guardians in 11 innings on Saturday. They had the bases loaded with no outs. They were one inning away from sweeping the Guardians, but they are 19-7. Braves have the best record in Major League Baseball right now as we speak. Percentage points wise, they're the only team in Major League Baseball with a 700 or above winning percentage. And that is tops in the National League, even over the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Cubs. The Phillies are still a game and a half behind the Atlanta Braves. Look, Ozzie Albies came back from the injured list. Sean Murphy should be coming back from the injured list. They don't have Spencer Strider. He's out for the season. There's nothing they can do about that. But as long as the Atlanta Braves continue winning, maybe they can exercise some demons when they get into the postseason, and let's just hope they don't end up playing the Phillies. Well, they travel to the Pacific Northwest, where they will take on the Seattle Mariners, and then they will take on the Dodgers. They are back at Truist Park on May the 7th, where they will take on the Boston Red Sox. Major League Soccer, Atlanta United and the Chicago Fire, they end up having a 0-0 draw, a very valuable point for the Five Stripes on the road. And they're not as consistent as they want to be. I mean, they're currently 3-3-3. They've got 12 points. They are currently tied for ninth place. That's not going to get it done. The best team in Major League Soccer, there is no question. Inter Miami, 21 points. Lionel Messi is leading Major League Soccer with 9 goals. Did you expect any other results? We knew this guy was going to come into Major League Soccer and dominate the sport. We were actually hoping that Lionel Messi would revolutionize the sport and make Major League Soccer bigger in this country. To be honest, we have so many distractions going on with Major League Baseball, the NFL draft, the NBA. Everything that's been going on, it seems like Major League Soccer takes a back burner. And I wish that Lionel Messi would actually get more exposure, more televised games. And I know he's popular worldwide, but it's kind of disappointing that we don't pay attention to Lionel Messi as much as we should, because he is a superstar. And by the way, just in case you are wondering, because I've wondered it myself, September 18th, that is when Atlanta United will host Inter Miami. Let's hope Lionel Messi is playing. I just want to see Lionel Messi. And, you know, ticket prices for that game is going to be skyrocketed. I can almost guarantee it. All right, let's talk about the NFL draft, because I know that a lot of Falcons fans have settled down a little bit. They're trying to find the silver lining. I mean, really, what silver lining? You really made a bonehead decision. Seriously. I mean, what were they thinking? But I'm not saying Michael Penix Jr. is not a bad quarterback. He is a good quarterback. He is accurate with the football. And he is going to end up being the quarterback for the future. But you're going to have to sell this to the fan base that you paid all that money to Kirk Cousins, and now you're drafting a quarterback in the first round with the 8th overall pick. He's 24 years old. If he does become the starter, it might be 4 or 5 years from now. So he'll be 29, and then you're going to insert him into the starting lineup. I know the general manager, Terry Fontenot, is saying, you know, having two quarterbacks is not a bad problem to have. But this just goes to show how bad Desmond Ridder was, where the Falcons had to get a quarterback. Now, let's say they never offered big money to Kirk Cousins in free agency. Then this would actually be a pretty good pick. Now let's go to the other picks that the Falcons had in the draft. In the second round, they take the defensive tackle from Clemson, Rook Ahoraho. In the third round, they get the edge rusher, Braylon Trice. And then in the fourth round, they get defensive tackle, Brandon Dorlus. J.D. Bertrand in the fifth round, who is a linebacker. So their next four picks, all defense. They should possibly hit on one of those. You know, they really don't have to worry about defense. I don't think the defense is a problem. I think last year the only problem they had was the quarterback. So they addressed a position that they struggled at last year with two quarterbacks. In hindsight, I kind of look at that and I'm thinking, yeah, that's not as bad as people think. It's just that Falcons fans have been through so much. They want to win right away. They haven't been to the playoffs since 2017. They went through 28-3, and they were so close to winning a championship. And the Atlanta Falcons want to win now. They were hoping that there was a player that could put them over the top, like a Dallas Turner, because they have weapons. They spent the last three drafts getting players like Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts. And then the other draft picks, hopefully they make the team. Jace McClellan is trying to become the backup running back to Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier. He might make the team as the third string running back. I actually liked him at Alabama. Casey Washington, the wide receiver from Illinois, not sure if he's going to make the team. And then the defensive tackle from Georgia, Zion Luge, makes the Atlanta Falcons. So I love that Falcons-Georgia connection. One thing that was very surprising in the entire 3 days of the NFL draft was that a quarterback outside the first round wasn't selected until the fifth round. The Saints end up getting Spencer Rattler. He is going to back up Derek Carr. Jordan Travis, that gruesome injury, and I'm just happy to see that he got drafted by the Jets in the fifth round. Joe Milton, a lot of people like Joe Milton. He was a good quarterback with Tennessee, gets drafted by the Patriots. Devin Leary getting drafted by the Baltimore Ravens at Kentucky, and then Michael Pratt getting drafted by the Green Bay Packers in the seventh round. The running backs, a lot of people thought the first running back off the board was in the second round, Jonathan Brooks. A lot of people think that the Carolina Panthers reached on Jonathan Brooks. Trey Benson from the Cardinals, that's going to be a good pickup, I think. I think that Blake Corum is going to have an impact with the Rams. And then finally, the wide receiver room. Very deep in the first round, the Bills end up getting Keon Coleman with the first pick in the second round. Ladd McConkey from Georgia goes to the Los Angeles Chargers. I think that Jim Harbaugh is going to utilize him very well. A.D. Mitchell going to the Indianapolis Colts. I think that he is going to have an impact. And then the local guy from Troup County, Jamari Thrash, who played at Georgia State. He played at Louisville. He goes to the Cleveland Browns. He was selected in the fifth round of the NFL draft. Looking at some of the other players, Brendan Rice, the son of Hall of Fame wide receiver Jerry Rice, get selected by the Los Angeles Chargers out of USC. And so there's just... And then I think Kool-Aid McKinstry might have an impact with the New Orleans Saints. He could probably line up on the other side of the ball alongside Marshawn Lattimore. UFL Week 5, as Saturday we had the Birmingham Stallions still undefeated in the UFL. They are 5-0 as they get the big 32-9 victory over the Houston Roughnecks. The San Antonio Brahmas defeat the Arlington Renegades 25-15. On Sunday, the Michigan Panthers defeat the Memphis Showboats 35-18, and the St. Louis Battlehawks defeated the DC Defenders 45-12. So right now, over in the XFL division, St. Louis and San Antonio are both tied at 4-1. The Birmingham Stallions got a two-game lead over the Michigan Panthers. I love the fact that we've got football year-round. We got Week 6 coming up, where we have the Birmingham Stallions taking on the Memphis Showboats. And I got ties to both cities. I lived in Memphis, and I had friends that lived in Birmingham, and I would make that trip from Memphis to Birmingham. Two very underrated southern cities that have a fan base that, you know, they're not quite big enough for an NFL franchise, but they do have a fan base that can support a football team, especially a team in the UFL. All right, it's time for another break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about what we've got going on Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Going to talk about high school baseball. We have got second round matchups for all the classifications. As you don't want to go anywhere, it is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and we will be right back.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out. It's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
Back here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Happy Monday! As I'm going to break down high school baseball playoffs, a reminder for Georgia Alabama Sports Live, we will be at Glenwood on Wednesday as it is the AISA semifinals where they are taking on Macon East. It is a rematch of the championship game last season. Calvary Christian is going to be on the road taking on Rock Springs Christian Academy, and we will be there as well. Call the Calvary Christian, Johnson Ferry Christian Academy games on Friday with Thrift Behringer. And there is no surprise, Calvary Christian is the best team in the Gaps. They are the favorites to win their sixth championship under head coach Steve Smith. So good luck to the Calvary Knights. Let's go ahead
and get right into the high school baseball playoffs for the state of Georgia. We're going to start with 7A. By the way, 7A goes away next year with a new reclassification. And I actually have the GHSA schedules, and I'll reveal that at a later time. All right, let's go to the top left of the bracket. May the 1st, second round matchups. How about your East Coweta Indians? Right there in Noonan. I want to try to give some love to the Noonan schools. They are taking on Grayson in the second round. Forsyth Central is taking on Walton. The lower quadrant, Hillgrove is taking on Brookwood. West Forsyth is taking on Buford. Over in the right side of the bracket, the defending 7A champions, Lowndes, they're taking on Harrison. Then you got DeCullough taking on South Forsyth. Parkview is taking on North Paulding. And Cherokee is taking on North Gwinnett. Let's go over to 6A. As the defending champions, Howson County, they're number two seed. They have to go on the road in the second round. They're going to take on Evans. And then you got Lassiter taking on the Noonan Cougars. How about those Noonan Cougars getting the 5-1 and 8-0 win over Gainesville to take on Lassiter in the 6A playoffs? You got Thomas County Central. They're not just good at football. They're good at basketball. They're good at baseball. They are just a powerhouse when it comes to a 6A school. Taking on Woodward Academy. And then you got Pope taking on East Paulding. Let's go over to the other side of the bracket, shall we? Tiff County is taking on Brunswick Etowah. Yes, they play baseball up in Woodstock. They're taking on Habersham Central. By the way, Nick Markakis is actually from Woodstock. He went to Woodstock High School, but Etowah was Woodstock's biggest rivalry, and then they ended up having River Ridge. So Etowah, Woodstock area, Kings Academy, it's all growing with high school baseball teams. Marist taking on Glenn Academy, and then you got North Forsyth taking on Blessed Trinity. Let's go over to 5A. Greenbrier is taking on Ola. You got Kell taking on Villa Rica. These games are second round games on April the 29th. Coffee is taking on the defending runners-up, the McIntosh Chiefs. McIntosh had no problem over Jones County, 5-0 and 8-5. Woodland taking on Loganville. Over to the right side of the bracket, Ware County taking on Union Grove. Greater Atlanta Christian taking on Flowery Branch. Decatur taking on Locust Grove. And Jefferson taking on Cartersville. 4A, Troop County. They were able to get the winner-take-all game against Shaw on Friday, 7-0. And the Troop County Tigers, remember they had their incredible run 2 years ago where they were in a bunch of elimination games. They are taking on West Lawrence in the second round on May the 1st. Holy Innocence Episcopal, which they are just great in everything. They're taking on Lovelet. LaGrange is on the road against Wayne County. What's happened the last couple of years, LaGrange has caught a lot of breaks where they have been able to host quarterfinal and semifinal games at the branch. They were a number two seed. They are taking on the number one seed, Wayne County. So that is going to be a tough matchup going on the road, taking on Wayne County. Cedartown is taking on Cherokee Bluff. Over on the other side of the bracket, Whitewater, they are taking on Perry. And then North Oconee is taking on Westminster. All right, so Stars Mill is taking on Benedictine. By the way, the region that Troop County, LaGrange, Stars Mill, and Whitewater are in, they all advance out of the first round. So quite an accomplishment from that region. And then Seckinger is taking on Heritage. 3A, we got a big one today. Columbus is taking on Mary Persons at 4:30 in Forsyth. And by the way, if Columbus is able to advance, because the winner of this game is going to have home field in the quarterfinals. We don't even have to wait for the GHSA coin flip. They will have home field in the quarterfinals because Wesleyan knocked off Gordon Lee and Hart County knocked off Sandy Creek. That's the matchup in the bottom of quadrant one. Wesleyan taking on Hart County. Quadrant 2, you got Morgan County taking on Calvary Day, and then you got Dawson County taking on Franklin County. Quadrant 4, you got Pike County taking on Thomasville, and then you have Ringgold taking on Oconee County. Up in Quadrant 3, you have Peach County taking on Harlem, and then Hebron Christian taking on Pickens. Let's go over to 2A. The 2A playoffs, which will start on May the 1st, the second round games. Worth County taking on Brantley County. Mount Perrin Christian taking on Redan. Cook is taking on Appling County. Walker is taking on Banks County. Pierce County taking on Jefferson Davis. Callaway is taking on North Cobb Christian. Toombs County is taking on Washington County. And Rockmart is taking on Providence Christian. All right, so let's go over to Class 1A, Division 2. You got Miller County taking on Charlton County. Mount Zion taking on Johnson County. Wheeler County is taking on Emanuel County Institute. Christian Heritage taking on Lake Oconee Academy. Lanier County taking on Baconton Charter. Towns County is taking on Schley County. Jenkins County taking on Wilcox County. Washington Wilkes is taking on Bowdoin. Class 1A, Division 1. Bacon County taking on Bleckley County. Whitfield Academy is taking on Prince Avenue Christian. Crawford County taking on Metter. The Webster School taking on Jasper County. Irwin County taking on Dublin. Social Circle taking on Kings Ridge Christian. And you got Heard County taking on Swainsboro. Pepperell taking on Tallulah Falls. All right, let's go to the GIAA. Brookstone and Pacelli both have byes. Brookstone's the number 2 seed. Pacelli is the number 3 seed. So the first round games, you got George Walton Academy taking on Bullock Academy. The winner takes on First Presbyterian Day. Bethlehem Christian's taking on Loganville Christian. The winner takes on Tatnall Square. Mount DeSales Academy taking on Stratford Academy. The winner takes on Brookstone. Strong Rock Christian and taking on Westfield School. And the winner takes on St. Ann Pacelli. Let's go over to the GIAA Class 3. You got the number 1 seed, Pinewood Christian. You got John Millage. Dominican Christian taking on Lakeview Academy. Terrell Academy is going to take on the winner of Southland Academy and Deerfield-Windsor. Heritage is got a bye. They're going to take on the winner of Tiftaria Academy and Westminster Schools of Augusta. Now let's go over to 2A in the GIAA. As you got Gatewood is the number 1 overall seed, taking on the winner of Brentwood and Westwood. You've got Edmund Burke, the number 2 seed. They're taking on the winner of Trinity Christian and Briarwood Academy. Piedmont Academy is going to take on the winner of Central Fellowship Christian Academy or Georgia Christian. And now finally, the GIAA Class 1. Flint River Academy is the overall number 1 seed. They will take on the winner of Fullington Academy and Memorial Day. Then you've got the number 2 seed, Robert Toombs Christian Academy. They will take on the winner of First Preparatory Christian and Grace Christian. Over in the gaps, the overall number 1 seed is the Kings Academy. They will take on Creekside Christian Academy on May the 3rd. And then Calvary Christian taking on Rock Springs Christian Academy. The winner will play in the championship game on May the 10th. And a best of 3 series. Well, the Central Red Devils get the 2-game sweep over Prattville as they will take on Baker in the next round of the AHSAA 7A baseball playoffs. How about that? And then you also have the Auburn Tigers able to get the wins against Enterprise on the road. There's a possible chance that Central might be playing Auburn in the semifinals. How exciting would that be? It would kind of remind me of what Central and Smith Station were able to do last season. So Auburn's going to play Fairhope in the second round. Bob Jones, which is considered one of the top teams in not only the state of Alabama, but in the country, they're taking on Thompson. And then you have Hoover taking on James Clemens. Over in 6A, you got quarterfinal matchups. Baldwin County taking on Hillcrest of Tuscaloosa. Spanish Fort taking on Wetumpka. Oxford is taking on Mountain Brook. Hartsell taking on Athens. You got quarterfinal action in 5A. Mobile Christian taking on Tallahassee. Valley is taking on Holtville. Sard is taking on Alexandria. And Russellville taking on Springville. 4A quarterfinals, Bibb County taking on Trinity Presbyterian. American Christian Academy taking on Oak Grove. Westminster Christian taking on North Jackson. And Corner taking on Deschler. 3A quarterfinals, Thomasville taking on Opp. Prattville Christian is taking on Providence Christian. Lauderdale County is taking on Gordo. And Westbrook Christian is taking on Fayette County. 2A quarterfinals, Pike Liberal Arts is taking on Bayshore Christian. Realtown taking on Artitron. Mars Hill Bible is taking on Vincent. And Whitesburg Christian is taking on Red Bay. And finally in the AHSAA, 1A, you got South Lamar taking on Sweetwater. Florida taking on Brantley. Coosa Christian taking on Appalachian. And Hackleberg taking on Sumpton Christian. And then one more classification I want to talk about before I close this show out. The AISA, because we have an investing interest in the AISA. And I do want to say, how about those Lakeside Chiefs? They led by their head coach, Tony Rasmus, the former Russell County head coach that led them to a state title in 2005. Doing a great job in 2A. And then you have the baseball pairing between Glenwood and Macon East. And you got Lee Scott taking on Clark Prep. Well, just like the license plate in the DeLorean in the movie Back to the Future, we are out of time. I want to thank all my listeners who have downloaded the podcast and subscribed to the YouTube channel. I'm also on Facebook. I'm also on the X. I'm on Instagram. I'm not quite on TikTok yet. I am not quite there, but I am getting there. Don't forget, I've got shows this week. I've got great guests lined up. I also have the Georgia-Alabama Sports Live show that I do with Thrift Behringer, and I'll try to air those here on this show. And don't forget that we've got more great sports programming here on WQEE. Stay tuned for Braves Country Radio with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. It's coming up next. Hope everybody has a great rest of your day. We will talk to you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy, because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.
When you really need something to get you through a long graduation ceremony, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are there to give you a thrill. With varieties like Trolley Sour Bursting Crawlers, the worms' soft and chewy texture, surprising flavor combinations, and neon bright colors will give everyone a reason to celebrate. So when you want to notch the festivities up a couple degrees, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are the perfect way for everyone to celebrate. Shop now for any trolley that crawls your way.
This is Austin Black, and I am the host of Behind the Tunes. Have you ever wondered about the stories behind your favorite songs and the journeys of those that sing them? Well, each week, we invite you to go behind the tunes and step into the stories behind your favorite Christian artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia-Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.